Let us pray together using the printed words of our prayer for illumination. The Lord be with you. God, the source of all good gifts, give us light for our souls. Give us the spirit of wisdom and understanding, so we might be open to your presence. Amen. Our First Testament lesson is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26, verses 6 through 9. Please follow along, page 180 of the Old Testament in your pew Bible. Listen for the word of the Lord. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the word of the Lord.
This morning we continue our series on following Jesus 101, and we're looking at sharing lavishly. I'm going to be reading from Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. Ephesus was one of the two churches, along with Philippi, that had this deep connection and bond with the Apostle Paul. There was this amazing love between apostle and church. And this is part of a prayer that in this letter that Paul is praying for the church. So let us listen to the word of the Lord beginning in chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of God's glory, God may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through His Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord. It was a question I was used to getting. I'm not sure how old I was when the kids around me first started asking it, but I know it was elementary school. And it would come in the lunchroom, and every day at lunchtime, we would all sort of file neatly in, we'd find our own lunch table, and we'd sit around, and the question would arise, "Hey, John, aren't you going to share?" Now, when they were asking if I was going to share, they weren't asking about my Fritos. They weren't asking about my peanut butter and jelly sandwich. They were asking about my mother's chocolate chip cookies. These were the world's best cookies. They had oatmeal and brown sugar and wonderful chocolate chips, and they would melt in your mouth. And so all of the kids, they would wait to see me unpack my lunchbox. Yes, there were things called lunchboxes once upon a time. And they would wait to see if the cookies were there. And if they were, they would ask, "John, aren't you going to share?" Now, I'd gone to church ever since I could remember, been to Sunday school, and where I grew up, you sat through church as a child, and then you went to Sunday school. And so I knew how we were to act as Christians. And so my answer was always the same, no. And it was no, because I understood what would happen, that if I gave one cookie to one friend and another cookie to another friend, then all the friends at the table would want one of my cookies, and I would have no cookies. So I wasn't about to share. And I see some people going, yep, yep. Now, I have to admit, before beginning to prepare to talk about giving lavishly, sharing lavishly, I had never really thought about all the different ways we use that term share, okay? Because share can mean lots of things. Share can mean like the cookie thing. Share means you give it away with no expectations of getting it back. Sharing can mean two children taking turns with a toy. John Judson, share that toy with your brother. It can mean sharing our grief. It can mean pouring out what's on our heart, sharing our life with another person. It can mean sharing an object that we expect to get back. I've got a torque wrench. You need a torque wrench? Here, I'm going to share my torque. Anyway, I'm going to share my tool with you. So there are all sorts of ways. Sharing has lots of meaning. So the question becomes, though, when we talk about God sharing lavishly, what does that mean? Which of these definitions really gets at the heart of what it means for God to share lavishly? I think the most obvious answer, the answer that probably a lot of us would give, is the cookie illustration. God gives us stuff. Right? Let me ask, how many of you have ever given thanks to God for something you've been given? Right? Okay. So there's the majority of us who are here this morning. We get it. We believe God gives us things. And so, there's God sharing lavishly. And if you go back to that passage out of Deuteronomy that Peter read, the story of God leading the people out of the wilderness, or out of Egypt in bondage through the wilderness to this land flowing with milk and honey. This is actually part of a liturgy, if you will, meaning something that the people were to do and say on a regular basis. And the way it continues, if I'd had Peter continue, it would be, so now I bring the first fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. It is an acknowledgement that it is God who has shared creation and community with the people. That God shares this amazing creation with us, the rain, the sun, the soil, the crops that grow, all of this happens because of the way God has designed it. So God shares this creation, and God also shares community. Because this liturgy is not just a private one-on-one, hear God, I say this and give you thanks. It is the entire community giving thanks to God for what God has done. And so the most obvious way of thinking about God sharing lavishly is by sharing creation and community. But there is, in my mind, another way of God sharing that is more deeply biblically rooted and yet often missed. And that is that God shares God's power and presence with us. That God shares presence and power. In other words, God shares God's own self with us. Now, what I mean by God shares God's presence and power, let's jump in our way, way back biblical time machine, and we're going to go back earlier in the book of Deuteronomy, earlier in this story of God's people in captivity in Egypt. And so God, with a mighty hand, the writer says, frees the people from Egypt, and they go into the wilderness, right? And the thing about the wilderness is that God doesn't just say, hey, have a nice life, see you on the other side. God's presence goes with them. That there's this thing called the tent of meeting. That wherever the people camped, they would set up this thing called the tent of meeting. And into that tent, Moses would go and God would come and meet him. And they'd hang out and they'd chat. And God would tell Moses what the people were supposed to do, answer Moses' questions. And so God was there. God's presence was there. And not only was God's presence there in the tent of meeting, God's presence came through God directing the people on their way in the wilderness. They were never lost because God was always there present, guiding, directing, leading. And so not only then did God give God's presence to the people in the wilderness, God gave God's power. God protected them from more powerful enemies. God protected them from poisonous serpents. God protected them by making sure they had enough water to drink and enough food to eat in the manna. So God's power was at work. So presence and power. And it's that presence and power that's actually at the heart of this prayer of Paul for the church at Ephesus. That what Paul wants to do is Paul wants to draw on those Old Testament images of God's presence and power and pray that the people understand that God's presence and power didn't end sometime in the past, but that it is present in the church and in their lives as individuals, as believers in Christ. And to understand this, all we have to do is go back to this piece and listen again. Here is Paul praying for Christ's presence to be in the people. Paul prays that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That Christ may dwell within you. That's verse 17. Then verse 19. So that, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you will be filled with the fullness of God. I want you to think about that image. Paul prays that we will be filled with the fullness of God. And if you want an image for that, it is literally, and this is one of Paul's favorite images that he uses throughout his letters, is that all of us who believe in Christ, all of us who have come to faith, God tents with us, T-E-N-T-S. That there's no longer this external tent of meeting, but that we become this tent of meeting. That God dwells fully within us. This is why we are filled with the fullness of God in the presence of Christ. That this isn't something external, it is fully internal in all of us. And when God comes and does that, what happens is God brings God's power. Here again, Paul, verse 16. I pray that according to the riches of God's glory, God may grant that you may be strengthen in your inner being through God's Spirit. And then verse 18, I pray that you may have the power to comprehend. And here's the critical piece. What is it that this power is supposed to do? First, it's to strengthen us in our inner being. Now, the Ephesians struggled with being faithful to God in Christ. Ephesus was this city filled with temples to gods, filled with people who said, you need to go and worship at these temples, filled with people who had wanted nothing to do with the Christians because they weren't part of sort of this Roman cult of worship, that they worshiped only one God. And so the temptation was always for them to sort of wander off. And Paul prays and says, that strength, that power within you will give you the strength to remain true to the one living God. But the second thing power does is that it helps us to comprehend the breadth, length, height, and depth of the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge. It was power to remember that we're loved, that we are beloved children of God. We're not just people who have wandered in and wandered by and God has forgotten. That this indwelling, this power, is there to remind us of who and whose we are. And so the gift we've been given is that God tents with us, that we are God's temples, God's tabernacles in which God dwells. And when God is there, we're given the power to know this infinite love. And the gift we've been given on this morning, on this Communion Sunday, is that we get to experience all of that in the moment of communion. We get to experience all of that at this table. Because in the bread and in the cup, we have creation. These are symbols of God's gift of creation. In community, we get to experience it because, folks, we get to serve each other. I know you see the elders going down the rows, you know, down the aisles, handing out communion. But guess what? You get to hand that communion to somebody else. We are in community serving one another. God's presence. Well, Reverend Bethany, I hate to tell you, you're not the host at this table, which I know you know. Jesus Christ is the host at this table. Jesus is spiritually present in our midst, the presence of God, and then the power of God, that when we partake of the bread and cup, we are partaking of more than the bounty of God's earth. We are partaking mysteriously of the presence and power of Christ that empowers us for faithfulness and love. And so my challenge to you on this Sunday is that when you receive the bread and the cup, I hope you will see in those things the lavish sharing of our amazing God, sharing creation and community and presence and power, and that you will know the love of God that surpasses all understanding. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for your just lavish sharing of every good and perfect gift. Help us to receive that and to be transformed in love by it. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.